All right. So this post I'm about to read has been really, really popular, and I've been asked to do a video of it. So we're going to dig right in here. So if you've ever felt overwhelmed and burned out by editing tasks while dealing with ADHD, then this is going to be a really helpful post for you. If you're in video production, if you're a videographer, photographer, anybody who has to do things where you create, but then you have to edit and you struggle with that, right here. Here you go. So I'm Michael Gebbin, and I started a video production company in high school back in 2004. From 2008 to 2013, my finances went up each year, reaching almost $400,000 in 2012. I filmed over 300 weddings, specializing in the same day edit. I worked with big names like Tony Robbins and Richard Branson. I've actually been to his private island 4 times, all while living in a small town of about 28,000 people here in the Midwest. Now, I'm not sharing this to show off, but to tell you that anything is possible. However, this is a highlight reel. Behind the scenes, things were really tough at times, and I didn't fully understand why until I decided to get brain scans to help myself and to help other people last year at 36, and then I was diagnosed with ADHD. Well, a big part of my success was taking massive imperfect action, or MIA. I even considered myself the MIA king. I embodied it, I had it on a shirt, and I inspired others with my audiobook on massive imperfect action. But in the last few years, I shifted from MIA to MOA, massively overthinking all my actions. It was really confusing, and procrastination became 100 times worse. I realized that some of the overthinking comes from trauma over the last decade. It's a way my brain tries to keep me safe. But a significant part of the overthinking and procrastination is linked to my ADHD, which I now see has been a part of my life and affected me professionally for the last 18 years. A little over a year and a half ago, I saw ADHD as the kid who couldn't sit still in school. But after looking into it and deciding to get the brain scans, I understand it now on a much deeper level. Many people are going undiagnosed because they are not the hyperactive kid, and that was not me. In fact, there's a lot of females who weren't even looked at all, who are the inattentive type like me, who were undiagnosed and got diagnosed with anxiety and depression and other things when really it was the ADHD causing those things. So this is huge. They scanned my brain twice over 2 days. One day, I just sat and thought about anything for about 15 minutes. Now, that's the brain scan on the left, the activated brain. And the other day, I had to look at a screen, which required high levels of concentration, and I was instructed to hit the space bar when an X appeared. That is the deactivated brain on the right-hand side of this picture. Now, sometimes when I write something like this, I'm in a flow state where my brain is activated and there's no signs of ADHD at all. But when it comes to editing, which comes after writing, it makes my brain deactivate. It's like hitting an invisible brick wall. It becomes hard to focus. That's when all the ADHD signs that people think of start to kick in. I get distracted. I get on my phone. I can't sit still. Whereas I could sit and write something like this for 4 hours straight, not eat, not go to the bathroom, not do anything. So it's very, very fascinating. Based on my scans, I've come up with something called brain activating tasks, or BATs, and brain deactivating tasks, or BDTs, by observing where I thrive and where I procrastinate heavily. People tend to think that ADHD procrastination comes from boredom or lack of skill, but I disagree based on my scans. See, that can be true at times for sure, or you just truly don't want to do something, but there are definitely other things at play. See, I love spicy food, but spicy food doesn't love me. Can anybody relate? I would love to eat chicken wings and have, you know, some lemonade and pound that down at a Buffalo Wild Wings, but the reality is it won't be pretty afterwards. TMI. Similarly, there are things I'm good at, but I avoid them because they feel terrible when I do them. Those are the BDTs. Doing too many BDTs for too many days in a row makes me irritable and not very fun to be around. This can lead to burnout. So it's not just about being bored or not good at something, right? Where your ADHD kicks in and you start procrastinating. It might be a brain deactivating task that's putting up an invisible brick wall in our brain to protect us from feeling bad afterwards. Even people who claim to love editing might be procrastinating the editing because too many brain deactivating tasks can be at the beginning of a project for editors. Hollywood overall tackles this by having separate editors for starting and finishing a project. Now, I'm not saying that they're doing this because of ADHD, but it works. And I have somebody who's a client who just won an Emmy, and he is typically an assistant editor on projects. He gets it prepared for the main editor. So I came up with something that when I looked at the success I had in my past and the success I'm having now, it's because of the Red Sea. The R means, can I reduce the amount of time that I have to do a deactivating task on a regular basis? E means, can I eliminate the deactivating task entirely? D means, can I delegate that deactivator? Can I get somebody else to do it, right? If it can't be eliminated and it can't be, you know, reduced, and it's got to be done all the time on a regular basis, then it might be good to delegate it. Now, the final one, the C, means, can I collaborate with somebody while doing this? There's a lot of, you know, quote unquote, neurotypicals, my wife being one of them, who by and large can sit alone in isolation and create and create and create, and she's fine and dandy. She doesn't need much support to initiate or be a catalyst to get the action going. She can just sit and do it. For a lot of people with ADHD, this is called body doubling. It is what it is, but it works. So in my video business, my main brain activating tasks were shooting and, you know, conversations and selling and getting on the phone, interacting with people. That's where I thrive right now. Like, I'm off the cusp a little bit with this. I thrive when I'm able to speak. Whilst editing overall was a brain deactivating task for me. The only time editing wasn't a brain deactivator was when I did same day edits. So it took a special, very circumstance. I had a deadline, but that, you know, at times is very, very draining to consistently do things like that. So my most successful years were when I hired somebody to basically do all the deactivating things for me. That was 2011 and 2012. Some of my biggest years I had in business. 2012 is when I hit 400,000. I was in my zone of genius, my sweet spot the entire time. But I didn't do any of this because of ADHD and this is how it would be more helpful. I just followed my curiosity. Things got really rough. Some things fell in place. And so I've got this proof from my past to show that this works really well. And I've studied a lot of entrepreneurs and I see this over and over and over again in the ones who do really, really well. So I can survive alone, but to thrive, I need a small team around me. I need some collaborators. I need some people to delegate. I need help. I won't write a novel here, but if you resonate, let me know. Let me know in the comments. Don't be afraid to get help. It can be a game changer. This is why neurodiverse entrepreneurs with ADHD struggle with traditional training designed for neurotypicals. If you've been procrastinating or struggling for years, you're not alone. Embrace who you are, seek help, and find your flow zone for more fun, freedom, and fulfillment. In my life, when I have embraced rather than disgraced who I am, I have done really, really, really well. But when I have fought who I am, I struggle big time. Who I am has most definitely evolved over time and will continue to evolve. But some things are far more of a struggle to change rather than to figure out how to do it in a different way. Sometimes just getting help is the best thing to do. But for many, ego or pride get in the way, and it's hard to ask for help. For some, it's because getting help has been made to be a bad thing. I mean, all through school, if you were bad at math and you were told to learn it and get better at it, having someone do your homework for you that was good at math was considered cheating. But in business, getting that same help with something you're not good at may be the difference between succeeding in business and failing in business. So don't be afraid to get help. Getting help is a game changer. You're not alone, you're not broken, and you don't need fixing. You are valuable. There's hope, and you've got this. Sending tons of love, rock and roll. So I don't want to make this a novel afterwards, but if you need any help, if you're wanting to make this the year of massive imperfect action, then leave the word action in the comments and I'll see how I can help you out. This is what I do all day, every day. I don't coach because I can't do. If anything, it's a heck of a lot easier at times to make money doing the video work, but I am called to do this work. I love helping people activate their brain, find their zone of genius, find their sweet spot, and do that which lights them up. So I'd love to hear your thoughts in the comments. This thing has gotten in different groups I posted it in, hundreds of comments. So I'd love to hear from you in the comments. Leave a comment, send me a message. Don't be afraid to reach out. It could be a game changer for you. So I'm sending you tons of love. Keep rocking, keep rolling, and we'll talk soon. Rock and roll.